This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Bill Cohn. Bill is the president and design principal at iTech Entertainment Corporation. iTech is an international themed attraction and entertainment development company. iTech is based in Orlando, Florida, with offices in Shanghai, China. Bill leads the company and directs the creative development of new concepts and designs of iTech's attraction projects. He has a solid foundation in strategic planning, creative design, and execution of entertainment attractions worldwide. Company projects include building attractions like E.T., Jaws, Ghostbusters, Spider-Man, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, and so forth. Clients include International Speedway Corporation, NASA, Kennedy Space Center, Paramount Parks, Foot Lockers, Billy Graham Evangelical Association, Dan Hotel Corporation of Israel, and on and on. Bill's experience includes more than 13 years with Walt Disney Company's Imagineering Division, the company's division that focuses on new attraction development. He was involved with the planning of Epcot Center, Fantasyland, and the Disney MGM Studios. Bill also served 3 years in France as an attractions design manager at Disneyland Paris. He received his bachelor's degree from the University of Florida's School of Architecture and Fine Arts, and is now a member of the Board of Advisors for the University of Florida School of Architecture. Bill, welcome to the studio today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Sam.
A real pleasure to have you here. Why don't you start by telling us which of all these attractions was your favorite one to work on?
That's the typical question from somebody that asked. So in 35, 40 years of designing projects and working on them around the world, I'm not sure there is a favorite. I enjoyed my time with Disney, and particularly the last two or three years living in Paris and working on a new project in Paris. What a wonderful place. So So the project is real meaningful to me, and so I think of my time with Disney, that's my favorite. iTech Entertainment, as on the other hand, works with so many independent developers around the world that obviously some of my more kind of classical attractions, which you wouldn't even consider attractions, but I spent 3 years developing the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. And while the project's small and kind of unassuming, it's about a story that is enduring, and that's the life of Billy Graham. So I particularly enjoyed working with Franklin and Billy for 3 years on that project.
Terrific. I would really recommend that everybody go to itech.com, I-T-E-C.com, to take a look at what this company's doing, delve more into it. I really think the website is like an attraction.
Should be.
Yeah. Okay. People want to hear about what you do. They want to learn from you, take things back to their shop that can help them improve as successful leaders. Tell us about the company in your own words.
Well, iTech Entertainment is a unique company in the sense that it you can't really look out in the world of industry, business, project development for anything that's quite like us. So iTech Entertainment is the brainchild of a couple of us that actually graduated from the Disney Imagineering side of Disney and had an idea that maybe we could take what we learned there over a number of years and turn it into a commercial enterprise. Much easier said than done. But ultimately what we are is a creative design and technologies company focused at the entertainment industry. And we provide services in a broad area of location-based entertainment, theme parks, location attractions, entertainment centers, cultural centers and attractions. And we provide those services across the palette from very high-end creative work to very detailed technologies that allow the creativity to come to life.
You use the word creative and creativity a lot. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you?
It means to me, generally what we think the creative process provides are solutions. Inevitably, a client comes to us with a challenge.
Okay.
They want to create, they want to build, they generally want to build something that is going to do a couple of things. It's going to certainly develop enough business to make it worth its while, but also to make a statement, because usually entertainment projects are a focus of a larger development process. So we think in our business, creativity is finding solutions to the problem of developing entertainment and providing a guest experience which is so unique that people will spend money and, more importantly, time to visit and enjoy.
Okay, good. We have a feature in each of our podcasts called Sunday to Monday. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you might hear on Sunday in church and then take to Monday through the work week and so forth. And one verse comes to mind here. It's Proverbs 22:29. And the verse is, "Do you see a skillful man in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Do you see creativity as part of that skill set that brings people sort of to the forefront in terms of
sure. I think people that are creatives in general find it both a challenge and an obligation. Right? So creativity is one of those interesting characteristics that's not in everybody. And certainly everybody thinks that they have a certain creative bent, but true creatives have an interesting kind of inquisitive nature that they always want to find the next challenge, but they more importantly want to find the solution to that challenge, and their creative talent is the solution to that.
So when you think about creativity and creation, it's not creating something or forming something from nothing. It more has to do with combinations of factors that perhaps already exist in some way.
Listen, the adage that there's no new ideas is in most cases true, that particularly in our business, we are cobbling together certain things that may come from historical perspectives, some legends or tall tales. It may come from true day-to-day life. But more importantly, we're creating a story that becomes the basis for the attraction we're designing. And that story, combined with technology and building techniques that exist and that have existed for some time, end up being the product of our work.
Okay, good. Tell us a little bit about fostering creativity. What do you do as a leader to help that creative process and flow take place?
That's a great question, Sam. And I think that I don't think about that so much as I hope that I am able to inspire creative talent by providing those challenges. So our company is somewhat unique in the sense that no two projects are the same. We always say to our clients, the great thing about iTech is that we never do the same thing twice. The worst thing about iTech is that we never do the same thing twice. And that provides for creative people, both technically creative and, say, design or writing creative talent, those challenges that to kind of constantly meet those interesting and new challenges that we bring into the office. That, to me, is what keeps people motivated to come to work every day.
Okay. All right. Good. Creativity is an issue. Actually, Richard Branson talks about creativity as being able to connect the dots and helping people to ensure that they see the dots and then different ways of connecting them. Right. However, I don't want to spend all the time here on creativity. You do lots of different things and of high interest to listeners. Let's talk for a bit about actually something I saw on your website. You're starting a new project in Vietnam.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're fortunate right now. It's an interesting part of the world, but we work in so many interesting parts of the world. Vietnam is a new kind of developing country. You know, third world 10 years ago, but now sprinting to the second and first world in industry and in tourism development, everything they can do to start elevating the life and the situation of their people. Entertainment is one of those things that's kind of a trailing indicator for us. So entertainment, though, is blowing up in Vietnam right now, primarily because of Chinese tourism. So that gives us opportunities, and it gives me the opportunity to meet new people, different culture, an interesting cross-culture, because the America has so much of, at least in the last 60 years, of Vietnam in its history. Mm-hmm. They, more so than we, think about the United States. So it's an interesting thing for me to meet people that are of my age or slightly younger and do work with those people who are in a place that I thought I would never be.
And do you design the park itself?
We do.
Okay, so yeah. you recommend what the attraction should be and yeah, how they should look and the whole deal.
Exactly. So any client that we have, different from let's say Universal Studios or Disney, who already have an awful lot of effort into what they're asking us to do. They know the story, they know the content. The rest of the world comes to us for story and content. And we create everything from that initial storyline right through picking the attractions and providing them the final documents.
Okay, good. One of the things that you mentioned has to do with culture, mm-hmm. and managing and leading people within different cultural characteristics. And almost everybody is sensing the world getting smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. and interacting with a more diverse kind of a workforce or follower group.
Sure.
When you think about what you've learned in managing these different cultures, what are some of the characteristics of people that might arise that are different than some that perhaps you've grown up with in this country? And how do you respond to those?
Yeah, I think one of the shames that we live with in the United States is that the people that live here and are educated here and never really spend much time overseas don't realize that the world is getting smaller around them and that there is a mad rush to high-quality, smart, creative talent worldwide. Mm-hmm. And now young people are in a competitive environment that they had no idea was coming along, because those developing countries are so motivated, because those young people can be successful in a single generation, much like it's been in the United States for hundreds of years.
Right.
That's new to them. Used to it would take a family generations to get a child just to the point of getting educated, then to the point of a secondary education. Now it's a single generation. That's new to most of these developing countries. They are more motivated than you can imagine. Work around the clock, never are quite quenched their kind of thirst for new information and new technology, new applications, the Western way, as we would consider it, American and European way. That push, that pressure puts us in a unique situation that we have to aspire to meet the demand for newer, better, bigger things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, keep reminding them that they have a culture that even we have to remind them not to leave. Because they are so interested in getting a Western, more global platform that they sometimes forget even what this great, wonderful culture that they are in.
But they are in.
People coming from outside like us have to tend to remind them, don't forget it, because it's what makes your tourists come to visit with you in the first place.
So when you are working on this new park in Vietnam, the worker group will actually be from Vietnam, or will they be people you take from the U.S. to Vietnam?
Both. And not only will be at Vietnam, but we probably will use our resources in China. There may be architects from the Philippines that are involved, production company from Thailand involved. That's how we do our business. We find the best resources from home, apply them to the resources in the neighborhood, let's say, and come up with a product which is part something that we've imposed on them and part something that's true to their culture.
Right. I'm thinking about all the people who thought that their work was complex. And as they listen to this scenario, it's like, how can you ever do that? It's such a complex issue. And I know that one of the things that you have afforded me as we prepared for this were really three characteristics of a successful leader: being inquisitive, focused, and flexible. And I would guess those three come to bear pretty often in this environment.
Sure they do. I think that I was telling somebody the other day that there isn't a morning that I don't wake up or there's something in my email that changes my day, changes the whole day.
Wow.
And that's because we work in a 24-hour clock. We have projects in literally every area, every region of the world, so it's not uncommon for me to wake up early. I get up early. unfortunately look at my phone, which my wife's not happy about, and I find that there's an email or two or a number of emails that literally set up my day. So if I wasn't flexible, if I wasn't interested and I wasn't in business, I would go crazy by noon. So it allows us and allows our company to be just that flexible.
And you talk about enjoying that ride.
I enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, that's terrific. Now, the verse that comes to my mind for this, and it may not be the same one for you, but it talks about this idea of pressure and challenge, and it's from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And it says, consider this pressure a sheer gift when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Mm. Why would you consider that a gift and a joy?
Listen, I think that I can't imagine any other way of living than under some level of pressure. I had my lawyer the other night called me up and said, Bill, I know you're drinking from a fire hose right now, which was a great way to say he understood how busy, he was asking for a favor, but how busy we were. And I almost wanted to apologize and say, don't worry about it. You know, I can always take on one more thing. Let me know what you need. That's the way I like to live, and I think that's the only way success comes is when you take on a little bit more than you can handle.
Yeah.
If not a lot more.
I see one of the books that you're reading, and it's The Secret History of the Mongol Queens.
Yeah, sure.
And is your reading interest spurred by the cultures that you work
clearly.
In as well?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. I like to read. Listen, the challenge for me or anybody, and I'm sure it is with anybody that's listening, is we would love to be able to sit and read a good book more often, but time doesn't allow it. I'm on so many airplanes that I do have a book in my briefcase all the time. That happens to be a book that's about the Mongol Queens of China and recommended to me by another very spiritual person that's in my life and said, I know you're going to China a lot. I read this really interesting book. You'll love this.
Cool.
I loved it more than they even thought because I was aware of so many of those places in China that the Mongol Queens existed that it was a great connection between my professional life and something that was historical. And so I enjoy that kind of reading more than I necessarily do in reading Time magazine or anything like that.
Well, I love the notion of reading like this in cultures in which you work. It broadens your capacity as a leader, I think, to understand what's going on in those cultures.
Allows you to connect with the people that are there. Yeah. So it's not uncommon for me to bring up something about somebody's culture just to hint to them that I am aware of it and I'm paying attention to it because it's a way of complementing their culture before we get into the business.
Right. It talks about Genghis Khan and marrying his daughters off.
And strategically.
Strategically,
yeah.
So he could send their husbands off to war.
Send his husbands off to war, and the women ran the show. Most people don't know it, but the Mongolian Empire was run by his daughters and daughters-in-law, which you couldn't imagine that many years ago, but he was a very strategic guy.
Awesome. Let's end this like we always do with a pearl of wisdom, something that you think might be useful to somebody listening right now as they walk into the office door.
Well, I say, and I know you and I have chatted about this a little bit, but I'm a believer that if I don't open my day with a bit of study in the book and a prayer, usually I'm guilty of asking for something. You know, almost every morning I will say, this is what I need today. This is what I need today. But mostly I'm not very direct about it. So I don't need a thing or I don't need something to happen. I generally am asking for wisdom. And I know that connects with what you do. But to me, it's important that almost every word I say to somebody that I'm meeting that day, whether I know them or I'm meeting for the first time, is that those words represent him well. And that's a hard thing to remember unless you pray about it every morning.
Right.
It's the reminder that I kind of caution myself with every morning is that I know things are going to happen to me that day. I know people are going to watch what I'm doing, but I just represent him well. And that's an easy challenge to live up to because we all know what that means. The best in what we are comes through in the best of what you can do with your people and with hopefully clients or any business relationships you have. So hopefully I am up to that challenge every day.
Right. And that represent him as Jesus.
Clearly.
And living your life like
him, capital H. And I say that speaking to him, so I don't know that there's any other place to ask for that inspiration.
Good. I'm sorry that time's up, Bill. Thank you so much for being here today. You can reach Bill by emailing, let me just spell this out, billc@itec.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. We'll see you next week, next Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.